Chapter 10. The Need for Intimacy.
A young couple had finally decided to get married, but as the big day approached, they grew very apprehensive. You see, each one had a problem that they had never shared with anyone before, not even each other. The groom-to-be, overcoming his fear, decided to ask his father for advice. "Father," he said, "I am deeply concerned about the success of my marriage. I love my fiancée very much, but you see, I have very smelly feet, and I'm afraid that my future wife will be put off by them." "No problem," said Dad, "all you have to do is wash your feet as often as possible, and always wear socks, even to bed." Well, to the groom this seemed to be a pretty good solution. Meanwhile, the bride-to-be, overcoming her fear, decided to take her problem up her mom. "Mom," she said, "when I wake up in the morning my breath is truly awful." "Honey," her mother consoled, "everyone has bad breath in the morning." "No, you don't understand. My morning breath is so bad, I'm afraid that my new husband will not want to sleep in the same room with me." So her mother simply said, "Try this. In the morning, get straight out of bed and head for the bathroom and brush your teeth. The key is not to say a word until you've brushed your teeth." "Not a word," her mother affirmed. Well, the bride thought this was a pretty good plan and decided to give it a try. So the loving couple was finally married in a beautiful ceremony. Not forgetting the advice each had received, he with his perpetual socks and she with her morning silence, they managed quite well. That is, until about 6 months later. Shortly before dawn, the husband wakes with a start to find that one of his socks had come off. So fearful of the consequences, he starts frantically searching the bed. But this, of course, woke up his bride, and without thinking, she immediately asks, "What on earth are you doing?" And the husband gasped in shock, "Oh no. You've swallowed my sock."
Hey, no matter what that couple tried to do, they still weren't going to escape the inevitable, were they? The truth was coming out sooner or later. And how many of you have discovered this truth? That when it comes to marriage, no matter how much you plan, you're still going to have to face some seriously stinky challenges. And I guess that's why one guy about to be married asked his father, "Hey Dad, is it true that in ancient China, a man doesn't know his wife until he marries?" And the father replied, "Son, that happens everywhere. But seriously, is this the kind of relationship that God had in mind when he instituted marriage in the Garden of Eden?" Folks, I'm here to tell you that the answer is absolutely not. Yes, Adam and Eve blew it in the Garden of Eden, and along with this, they also blew the chance of having a perfect marriage. But the good news is that even though you and I may never have a perfect marriage, it doesn't mean that we've got to resign ourselves to a life of personal pain and silent suffering. It just means that it's going to take some time and lots of work. Why? Because folks, marriages aren't made in heaven, they're made right here on earth. Therefore, we're going to continue looking at the steps for having a marriage built to last. We already saw the first step in building a lasting marriage was to acknowledge that marriage is under attack. The second step was to acknowledge that men and women are different. The third step was to acknowledge that love is an action. The fourth step was to acknowledge the need for romance. The fifth step was to acknowledge the need for communication. The sixth step was to acknowledge the need for reconciliation. And last time we saw that the seventh step in building a lasting marriage was to acknowledge the need for honor. And there we saw that if we're going to avoid having a shriveled marriage, then we need to honor one another with our words, our actions, and our acceptance. But people, that's not the only thing we need to be aware of. The eighth step in building a lasting marriage is to acknowledge the need for intimacy.
Song of Solomon 5:9-16. How is your beloved better than others, most beautiful of women? How is your beloved better than others, that you charge us so? His mouth is sweetness itself, he is altogether lovely. This is my lover, this my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem.
Now according to our text here, the reason why this person is so passionate about their relationship is because their beloved isn't just a lover, but they're a friend as well. And folks, whether you realize it or not, being best friends in a marriage is one of the most important keys to a healthy relationship. Why? Because a deep level of friendship will provide a deep level of intimacy. And the word intimacy means to adhere tightly to, like a close friend. You see, next to God, your spouse needs to be the most intimate and closest person in your life. But if we're honest with ourselves, most of the time we're not being the best of friends, we're acting like the worst of enemies. And if that wasn't bad enough, we make things worse by assuming it's the other person's fault for a lack of intimacy in our marriage, like this lady.
A husband and wife are driving down the highway when another car passes them. The wife notices that the occupants of the other car are young and obviously in love because the girl is sitting very close to her boyfriend as they cruise down the highway. Well, this causes the wife to think back when she and her husband were young and in love, and she began to wonder where the show of affection and intimacy had gone over the years. And so finally she says to her husband, "Honey, remember when we used to be like that young couple? Where did the love and intimacy go?" Well, this caused the husband to ponder about her question, and as he thought about it from the driver's seat, he replied, "I don't know, but I haven't moved."
Now that lady was blind to what was causing the distance between her and her husband, wasn't she? She assumed it was the other person, when all the while it was her own behavior. And people, I'm telling you, it's this natural tendency to ignore our own destructive behavior that creates divisions in our marriages. And the longer we ignore it, the more likely things are going to crack up. Why? Because if we don't develop intimacy from the start, our marriage will soon slide apart. Folks, whether you realize it or not, every single day of your marriage, you're either drawing closer together, or falling further apart. Like an escalator that never stops, you're always headed in one direction or the other. And the longer you slide apart, the wider the distance becomes. And the wider the distance becomes, the more you run the risk of being split apart. Therefore, to protect our marriages from splitting apart, I think we'd better take a look at some practical ways of how we can develop some intimacy. And folks, it's pretty easy. The first way we develop intimacy in our marriage is by spending time with each other.
Proverbs 17:17, 27:10. A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. Never abandon a friend, either yours or your father's. Then in your time of need, you won't have to ask your relatives for assistance.
Now, according to our text, one characteristic of an intimate friend is that they're loyal. And how do they express this loyalty? Simple. They take the time to be there for you when you need it most. In fact, an indicator that a person is not your friend is when they do just the opposite. They refuse to spend time with you, or in other words, they abandon you. And folks, if you were to ask me what is the major cause of marital problems today, I'd have to say it's this one. We simply don't spend time with each other. And because of this, most married couples start out being the best of friends, but slowly, little by little over the years, they become nothing more than casual acquaintances. Why? All because they refuse to spend time together. One researcher talks about this destructive trend in marriages today.
Typically, the American married couple spends about 11 and a half minutes a day in any kind of conversation. This includes such meaningful exchanges as, "Pass the salt." Or, "Did you bring in the paper?" "We do not have time to relate because it takes most of our time working at jobs that most of us dislike just so we can have enough money to get all these things nobody wants."
I believe marriages fall apart primarily for this reason. In meeting the hectic, everyday demands of making a living, husbands and wives just do not have enough time to work out the tensions that are a normal part of a marital relationship. They lack the time required for two people to get to know each other and, worse than that, they do not have the time to invest in creating love.
As the years pass, people change, but they forget to tell each other because they are so busy earning enough money to buy the things they do not need. And so couples become strangers. Two people share the same bed but little else. She goes about life alone and so does he, and the marriage proves to be little more than two people who are alone together for a few minutes a day.
People, how can we expect to have a relationship, let alone an intimate one, if we only spend a few minutes a day together? And I know it's hard, especially in our fast-paced rat race society. But the funny thing about a best friend is, they don't make excuses, rather they show their true friendship by making the time. Therefore, if you're feeling abandoned in your marriage, then maybe it's a sign that one or both of you have simply abandoned each other. How? By not spending time with each other. The second way we develop intimacy in our marriage is by sharing interest in each other. You see, we can finally get around to spending more time together, but we can still blow it. We don't use that time to share an interest in each other.
Philippians 2:3-4. Don't be selfish, don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others, too, and what they are doing.
You see, another characteristic of an intimate friend is that they're a good listener. They not only find the time to be with you in person, but they also take the time to be interested in you as a person. In fact, an indicator that a person is not your friend is when they do just the opposite. They couldn't care less about your world and what you're doing when you're away. They're only concerned about themselves. And people, one of the biggest causes of two people feeling like two strangers in a marriage, is simply because they don't take the time to get interested in each other's world. And I'm telling you, one of the easiest ways to dispel this sense of isolation, and instead develop intimacy with your spouse, is by getting interested in who they are as a person and the affairs of their daily life. And that's right, this means you have to talk to each other once in a while. Hey, foreign concept, isn't it? And not just statements like, pass the salt. Or did you bring in the paper? You see, we all can spend time together, but what makes it quality time is when you get specific and enter into their world. And in order to make this quality time effective, we need to understand yet another God-given difference between men and women. You see, men in general gain their sense of identity from their work. And ladies, this is why when you get specific and ask us our opinion about the pattern arrangement or color scheme of a bed comforter, we give you the look like we'd rather go clean the dog's toenails than listen to this. And it's not that we don't care about you, it's just that most men aren't interested in that kind of stuff. But if you ask us about our work, our projects, or something we built, what do? We open up like a can of worms, don't we? Why? Because that's what most men are generally interested in. Therefore, ladies, no matter how boring it might be to you, you still need to go out of your way to share an interest in your husband's work if it's going to be quality time. And when you do, the intimacy will begin to grow. However, men, women in general gain their sense of identity from the home. Guys, this is why when you get specific and ask your wife her opinion about the fuel intake of a 4-barrel carburetor, she gets that look in her eyes like she'd rather be eating a box of head cheese than listening to this. And it's not that she doesn't care about you, it's just that most women aren't interested in that kind of stuff. But if you ask her about the kids, the condition of the house, or something she cooked, what does she do? She opens up big time. Why? Because that's what most women are generally interested in. Therefore, men, no matter how boring it might be to you, you still need to go out of your way to share an interest in your wife's home life if it's going to be quality time. And when you do, the intimacy will begin to grow. People of God, how can we expect to have a relationship, let alone an intimate one, if we never share an interest in each other? And I know it's hard sometimes, especially if their interests tire you. But the funny thing about a best friend is, they never get tired of you, rather they show their true friendship by getting interested in you. Therefore, if you're feeling bored in your marriage, then maybe it's a sign that one or both of you have simply become bored with each other. Why? Because you're not sharing an interest in each other. The third way we develop intimacy in our marriage is by staying faithful to each other.
Song of Solomon 2:15. Quick! Catch all the little foxes before they ruin the vineyard of your love, for the grapevines are all in blossom.
Folks, another characteristic of an intimate friend is that they're a good lookout. They not only spend time with you and take an interest, but they are faithful to quickly spot and protect the relationship from possible danger. In fact, an indicator that a person is not your friend is when they do just the opposite. They not only refuse to protect the relationship, but they're actively involved in destroying it. And people, one of the biggest ways to destroy a marriage and demonstrate our unfaithfulness is by having an extramarital affair. And when we think of an extramarital affair, we automatically think of adultery, right? And we know that adultery is clearly condemned by God because it shows our unfaithfulness in keeping our marriage vows that we made to our spouse and before the Lord. But what we don't realize is that adultery is just one way to have a love affair. You see, some people can have a love affair with their job by investing all their focus and creative energies into their career instead of their spouse. Or maybe it's a love affair with the children where one parent readily sacrifices and gives special attention to their kids but not their spouse. Or maybe it's a love affair with materialism where they readily spend bags of money and actually cherish things instead of their mate. Or maybe it's a love affair with activities where they spend tons of time and plan all kinds of things to do with anyone and everyone but their spouse. You see, adultery is just one of the little foxes that can ruin your vineyard of love. And it doesn't matter which fox it is. The results are the same. They all invite trouble into your marriage. And people, how can we expect to have a relationship, let alone an intimate one, if we can't stay faithful to each other? I know it's hard, especially in our self-indulgent and self-centered society. But the funny thing about a best friend is, they don't make excuses, rather they show their true friendship by staying faithful. Therefore, if you're feeling heartbroken in your marriage, then maybe it's a sign that one or both of you have simply given your heart to something else. How? By not staying faithful to each other. People of God, learning to develop intimacy is pivotal in having a healthy marriage. Why? Because if we don't develop intimacy from the start, our marriage will soon slide apart. Whether you realize it or not, every single day of your marriage, you're either drawing closer together, or falling further apart. Like an escalator that never stops, you're always headed in one direction or the other. And the longer you slide apart, the wider the distance becomes. And the wider the distance becomes, the more you run the risk of being split apart. But as you can tell, developing intimacy with each other isn't easy, is it? In fact, it requires a personal sacrifice, doesn't it? But folks, you can't have your cake and eat it too. If we expect to have healthy, strong marriages, then we have to be prepared to make some tough decisions in life once in a while, like this boy did.
A little boy was told by his doctor that he could save his sister's life by giving her some blood. The 6-year-old girl was near death, a victim of disease from which the boy had made a marvelous recovery 2 years earlier. Her only chance for restoration was a blood transfusion from someone who had previously conquered the illness. Since the two children had the same rare blood type, the boy was the ideal donor. So the doctor asked the boy, "Johnny, would you like to give your blood for Mary?"
The boy hesitated. His lower lip started to tremble. Then he smiled and said, "Sure, Doc. I'll give my blood for my sister."
Soon the two children were wheeled into the operating room, Mary, pale and thin, Johnny, robust and the picture of health. Neither spoke, but when their eyes met, Johnny grinned. As his blood siphoned into Mary's veins, one could almost see new life come into her tired body. The ordeal was almost over when Johnny's brave little voice broke the silence, "Say, Doc, when do I die?"
It was only then that the doctor realized what the moment of hesitation, the trembling of the lip, had meant earlier.
Little Johnny actually thought that in giving his blood to his sister he was giving up his life.
And in that brief moment, he had made his great decision.
People of God, if the life of your marriage is slowly dying out, then maybe you need to make your own big decision today. Maybe you need to be willing to sacrifice your own life to save the life of your marriage. How? By spending time together, sharing an interest in each other, and staying faithful to each other. And folks, if you can do that, then no matter how far you may have drifted apart, the lifeblood of your actions really can infuse new life into your marriage. And rather than killing you, you'll see that the giving of your life has actually brought your relationship back from the dead. And folks, this is the great news. Being married doesn't mean your life is always going to be filled with personal pain and silent suffering. God never said that it'd be easy. He just said that it's going to take some time and lots of work. And if we'll just acknowledge the need for intimacy, then we're well on our way to having a marriage built to last.